Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Give you a little exhortation tonight from verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. We appreciate so much the wisdom of these words and really look forward tonight, Father, for you to give us something from the Bible that will be an encouragement to us, instructive and helpful for this day and this time in our walk with you. We pray, Father, that there's something that comes from this preaching tonight that not only expands and expounds the Word of God so that we understand it, but that speaks directly to a need that we have. Something that can help us where we leave here tonight and we say, well, that's what I need to address this situation or this thing that's going on in my life. We pray, Father, the application will be unmistakable. That's something we know that only you can do. We pray you'll do it to your honor and to your glory, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He said here, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, there's only one other time in the Bible where he uses the word circumspect, and we're going to look at that tonight, but it's helpful to know what the word means. Circumspect. What it means is this. I'll give you two definitions, or the first definition from two different dictionaries. First from the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Circumspect is careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. That's a real good word. Careful to consider all circumstances. A lot of times when somebody does something and then they're surprised that it didn't work out the way they thought, they say, well, I didn't take that into consideration. They didn't consider all circumstances. And possible consequences. And oftentimes, particularly when people rush into things, they don't even think about the consequences. Let's say they see something that they want. They think about the pleasure that they might derive from the thing they want, but they have no concern for, no thought about even consequences, particularly consequences that may not be good. The New World Dictionary is a three-volume set that I have. It's a dictionary that I have that was given to me probably from a book salesman. You remember those book salesmen go around sell encyclopedias? This probably went with the encyclopedia set. And a lady in our church in Beeville had that, and she didn't want any more. She said, "Here, take these dictionaries." Well, they're really good because they're very thorough. And listen to the dictionary definition there of circumspect: marked by caution and earnest attention to all significant circumstances and possible consequences of action. See, it expands on this idea of being careful to consider all circumstances, marked by caution and earnest attention to all significant circumstances and possible consequences of action. You know, people just don't take the time to think through a thing carefully enough before they act. And being circumspect, when Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise," he's saying, you know, you need to evaluate decisions, particularly important decisions. You need to be cautious. You need to give a lot of attention to these things. And you need to consider the outcomes or the consequences. So tonight what we want to do is we just want to talk practically about how to walk circumspectly. How do we do this? And I figure if we don't cover it so thoroughly because of everything that we could discuss, at least if we deal with with the concept from the Bible simply and practically, you can go and do something with it. So the first thing, how to walk circumspectly, is this. Listen, this could be very profound now. Do what God says. Just do what God says. Keep your finger where you are, because we're going to come back to Ephesians chapter 5, and turn with me to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23 is the only other place in your Bible where the word circumspect is used. Now, what's happened is in Exodus chapter 20, the Lord has given the Ten Commandments. And then in Exodus 21, 22, and 23, He is coming in with points of conduct. Just one thing after another. What to do with a thief. What to do if you smite a servant. What to do with a bondservant. How long you can keep him. What happens if an ox gores a man. What happens if an ox gores a man, but you knew he was an ox that was used to pushing? What would you do? What would you do with something loaned to you? What would you do with something you hired? I mean, it's all that stuff. And then he gets to Exodus 23 and verse 13, and he says, "And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth," which is another point. "In all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect." So it's obvious then to me, if you want to live circumspectly, find out what God said and do that. Because that's what He says. "In all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect." So you have to take what God says absolutely into consideration and carefully consider it to see how it applies to your life. You know, the Bible, you can go back to Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible, if you think about it, is very clear on what you should do. You ever notice that? God doesn't deal in gray areas. We may find ourselves in gray areas, but that's only because we may have a desire and there may be some adverse consequences, but we're going to see if we can work this thing out in such a way that the adverse consequences don't happen to us, even though it happened to everybody else that ever tried it. Stuff like that. God is very clear on what to do. Now, you're not going to know everything that God said to do when you first start reading the Bible, because you would not have read through it all the way. But let's say that you wanted to know something that God said about something you wanted to do, but you didn't know enough Bible to know whether God had anything to say about it or not. What would you do? Just take a shot in the dark and hope it works out? A lot of people do. Well, what could you do? You could ask somebody. You could ask your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, or somebody that's a friend of yours that's very knowledgeable about the Bible. "Hey, does God have anything to say about this?" Because what you want to do is you want to find out what He said. Now, as you read the Bible, some of you are reading on the annual calendar plan. Some like to read like I do. Start in Genesis, go to Revelation, start over again. Some have your own way of reading, a little of the Old Testament, a little of the New, whatever that may be. As you read, you're going to see what God says to do. And you're even going to remember some of what God says to do. Well, they have a saying today. One of the companies in advertising said this: "Just do it. Just do it." You know why? Because it works. It works. If you want to make sure when you're getting ready to do something that the consequences are going to work out right, then do what God said. Now, let me just give you an example here of how clear God is on these things. You're in Ephesians chapter 5, right? And notice in verse 15, which is our text, He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly." In other words, He's already said some things to you, and then He says, "You see then," because of these things, or as you've seen here, "see then that you walk circumspectly." All right, well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and just see if He gave you any instructions on some things you could do that would cause things in your life to work out right. Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." How do you think things are going to work out for you if you're following God? Right? I liked Irene's testimony tonight when she was praising the Lord. She says, you know, I thank the Lord that He saved me and that He's with me. But then she said, and that He's leading me. He gives her clear direction to know how to go. I don't think Irene's the only one in here that gets that, do you? So He says here, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, if you let the Lord know that you want to follow Him, I promise you, God's not going to play hide and seek with you and make it hard for you to figure out where He is so you can follow Him. He says here in verse 2, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Anything uncertain about that? No, it's pretty clear. I mean, it has a lot of ramifications. I'm sure we could preach a whole sermon on it, but you get the idea. When you're walking in anger, walking mad, whatever, you're not walking in love. Walk in love. Look at verse 8. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's pretty clear. If you want to walk circumspectly, He said, here, watch this. Walk as children of light. I don't want you to mull over it and get depressed over it. But when you think back in your life to things that you did that were wrong, a lot of those things were done in the dark. The first time that a kid smoked a cigarette, he didn't just walk through the living room. He went and hid out behind the garage. All right, if you have to hide to do what you want to do, if you have to do it when nobody else is looking, if you have to wait until it's dark to get away with it, hoping that you don't get caught, you're not walking circumspectly. Walk where what you do is right there in broad daylight, and everybody can see it. I like what Bob Jones Sr. said. The test of a man's character, well, he said this many ways, but one of the things he said is what you would do if you knew you could do it and you wouldn't get caught. You knew you could get away with it and you wouldn't get caught. Whatever it is that you would do under those circumstances is really your character. Well, if you don't want that to come out, walk in the light. Walk as children of light. See, that's pretty good. He says in Ephesians 5:14, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest. Don't walk around here like a zombie. Wake up. What does that mean? Keep your eyes open, pay attention, and so forth. And He keeps going. Like in verse 16, He says, redeem the time. There are a lot, you know what, we have more time-saving devices now than we've ever had, and I think there's more time wasted than we've ever seen. Verse 17, He says, understand the will of God. He said, that'd be hard. You know something? It's not. If you type in, if you have a concordance, I have on my phone, I have an app for Alexander Scorby. I listen to that while I'm reading the Bible oftentimes. And in there it has this little magnifying glass, and you push that and you can type something in there. You could type in will of God and it'll show you exactly the verses that tell you exactly what the will of God is. And He said, understand the will of God. That's you're circumspect. Verse 19, He said, sing unto the Lord. Verse 20, He said, give thanks always. See, the Lord's not very, he doesn't keep it away from you. Like I've said before, and a man said to me, the trouble with Christianity is not knowing what to do. It's doing what you know to do. That's where the problem is. So if you want to walk circumspectly, find out what God said and then do that. Because you know it's going to work out. He's already tried it. He's already checked it out. He already knows how it's going to do. All right, here's another one. This is going to be really profound now. It's going to be tough. But you can go home and digest this for a few weeks and you'll figure out. If you want to walk circumspectly, don't do what God says not to do. It's really profound. And again, the Lord is very clear on these things. The more you know the Word of God, the more you're going to know what God doesn't want you to do. And you know something? God's not a big ogre up there that says, oh boy, I don't want you doing this, because I know that would be really good for you and you would really like it, but I don't want you to have any fun. I want things to happen that are bad for you. That's not God. When God tells us don't do this, it really is for our own good. Often it is for His pleasure, but He made us and He said, if you won't do that, things in your life are going to work out a whole lot better than you think they would. Look at this. Look in verse 3, same chapter. See, there's a lot in here. This is why He said, see then that you walk circumspectly. Look at this. But fornication, verse 3, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In other words, the consequences of fornication, and uncleanness, and covetousness, and filthiness, is that you lose your inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. God says, I've got this great big inheritance here for you, and I don't want you to lose that, so don't do these things. See, it's for your benefit. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So God says, when there's this kind of disobedience, my wrath falls. So don't be deceived by those things, and you won't get my wrath. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. So if you will not do the things that are listed in those verses right there, you can be sure that the consequences that are associated with those verses won't fall on you. See how that is? You're assured of that. Then he says in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, don't go along with the things that other people do that they have to do in the dark. If you are with them and you hear or see these things, stand up and say, hey, whoa, that's wrong. I like what happened with one guy. I was talking, he was working on an assembly line, and the guy down the way would take the name of God in vain. And he told him one time, he said, I am a child of God. I am a child of the God you're cursing. And I would appreciate it if you would not take my Father's name in vain anymore. You stop that. You say, well, I wouldn't say that to the guy down the line. That's what he told him. And you know what that guy did? He quit cussing. He quit taking the name of God in vain. Because the guy says, that's my Father you're talking about like that. And he said, don't do that, and I don't want to hear that anymore. You know what? You'd think, well, that probably really turned the guy off. Well, as a matter of fact, what it did is it reproved that work, and in time, this fellow was able to lead that fellow to Jesus Christ. You know what that is? He shined some light in there on that darkness and reproved that work. He said, verse 12, he said, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I want to make a comment right here. It really concerns me as a minister and a pastor that we have so many young people that are falling to these very things I'm talking about right here tonight. I'm telling you, it concerns me because we preach hard against these things, and it concerns me because there's more to the relationship between a pastor and the people in church than just one man standing and another people sitting. There is a love in these relationships that when those kind of things happen, it breaks your heart. Do you understand? It's painful. So I'm going to give you something here tonight that will help with walking circumspectly. You run a huge risk of not walking circumspectly in the risk increases in relation to the time you spend on the internet. The risk increases the time you spend in social networking. Why? Verse 12, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. Those things that are done to them in secret are posted in their social network. And they are using text messaging to talk of those things. You know what I'm talking about? And when you allow yourself to get into that, listen, network, you have an association with the children of darkness that affects your walk with the Lord. Yes, it does. And people will defend it, well, I need to be that way because this is where I check up on my kids, this is where I check up on my family and all that stuff. You know, we got all that too. If I want to know how my kids are doing, pick up the phone and talk to them. Really, I mean, what's wrong with having a conversation? I was talking to a fellow the other day. I said, and they've got a great church, and I said, listen, I'm getting this from pastors in various places where we visited, friends have called. I said, are y'all having the same kind of problem in your church? Same kind of problem. And that the pastor I talked to said, and I think a lot of this is associated with social networking because of the exposure to that sin. You are not walking circumspectly when you are walking in a social network. Amen. It's just the truth. So you say, well, I'm going to watch my children and make sure how they can't control this. They can't control this. They wake up in the morning and the first thing on their mind is who made a post to my site and who made a post to their site and I can't wait to see it and who Twittered that and tweeted this and snapped that and snapped this and whatever all those things are called. May I tell you something? You know you're addicted when you can't get away from it for 30 days. You are an addict. Yeah. I guarantee you there is a whole lot more time spent in the social network than there is in the God network. And if you want to walk circumspectly, you're going to have to read this book and walk in the light of this book. And when you spend more time with your network than you do with your God work, you're not walking circumspectly and you are not redeeming the time. You got that, Doyle? You don't even know how to spell it. You don't even know how to spell it. And look, he goes on in here and he says in verse 18, don't drink. And he says in verse, he just goes on down. He says, you know, if you just look, I'm telling you what, if you just follow, this is one chapter of one book, 20 verses. You could do all this and your life would just be fabulous. It's unbelievable how good it would be. And just a couple other little points about this. Look at verse 15. He gets in there, you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Let me ask you a question. Do you have enough discretion to recognize the walk of a fool when you see one walking? Can you pick one of those out in the crowd? Yeah, they're easy to spot. But you know what? Some Christians think that foolishness is fun. Keep your finger here real quick and go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at this thing in Proverbs chapter 15. Then when you go to Proverbs and we look at 15, keep your finger there. We'll go back to Ephesians 5 one more time. Then we'll go back to Proverbs one more time and then we'll shut her down. You get the idea. Look here. Ephesians chapter 15, look at verse 21. Folly, 15:21. Folly is joy to whom? To him that is destitute of wisdom. In other words, only a fool thinks folly is joy. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Looks at that. So that's foolishness. I'm not going to do that. Now, you know what? A lot of Christians today don't recognize that, or if they do, they're like, well, it's okay anyway. He said, you need to walk circumspectly. So when you see a fool, turn away. Why? You're in Proverbs, right? I'll save you the time of having to come back here. Look at chapter 13. And look at verse 20. Because this will be the next point as well. You see that thing right there in Proverbs 13:20? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Let me ask you something. Look up here. Just look around this room real quick. Do you know? Can you see anybody in here that you would recognize as probably a wise person? Okay. You walk with wise men, and you know what's going to happen to you? You'll be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Shall be destroyed. And that's what happens. So don't walk as fools. Why? God is concerned for your well-being. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. Then back here in Ephesians chapter 5, he also says this, and this is where we'll wrap it up. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. But as wise. All right, how do wise people walk? Well, you watch how they walk, follow them. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, follow me. And he didn't have any problem with them doing that because he knew the direction that he would lead them as they were following him was good direction. Good direction. So walk, that's how to walk circumspectly. Find a wise person and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up with you and watch how you do this. I love what Dennis Wells said. He's an associate pastor up there at Treasure Valley Baptist Church in Meridian, Idaho, where we go for pastor school every other year with Pastor Rick DeMichael. And he was in the mission field of Papua New Guinea for many years, and he's got a son, Chad Wells, who's still there, and Brad Wells, who is pastoring a church that they started over in Washington, D.C. area. All right, he told me, he said, you know what we need to do? This is a lecture environment. Tonight you're hearing me speak, and you're getting a lecture environment. You don't remember much of what you learned in a lecture environment. We need to also show our people away from the church building how you do these things we're talking about. In other words, it's good for if you don't know how to lead a soul or how to witness, it's good to go with somebody that knows how, and then you see how they speak to other people about the Lord, and that gives you instruction and confidence on how to speak to somebody about Jesus Christ when you don't know how to do that, see? And same thing, if you don't know exactly how a wise man should walk, walk with wise men. And you'll figure it out. You'll see it. Seek their counsel and learn their wisdom. Because he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Let me ask you something. If you were confronted with a decision that you had to make and you were wanting to walk circumspectly, which would mean to cautiously and earnestly consider all the significant circumstances and possible consequences, and you just weren't capable of doing that, you hadn't lived long enough, hadn't read enough, hadn't seen enough to know how to do that, and you said, Randy, I'd like to come set up an appointment with you Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock because I have a decision I'm trying to make and I want to make sure I make a good decision. I'm looking for some wise counsel. You think Randy would say, sorry, Charlie, I don't do that. Huh? No, he'd say, man, I'd love to see you. And he would be praying until you came, and he would turn to the Bible and show you, and he'd have some life experience and some Bible experience to be able to tell you that. You know how many times a week he gets his door knocked down seeking that type of counsel? Huh? None. What's wrong with that? You say, well why is that surprising? He is the associate pastor and he is the Sunday school teacher for the college and career class. That's the one place that I can think of where that age group needs a tremendous amount of wisdom to make decisions that are still beyond their experience and understanding. That door, there ought to be a path beaten through that door of people asking for wise counsel. Because you're making major decisions that are going to have consequences many times for the rest of your life. He's not going to tell you what, I'm getting beyond myself here, what to do. But he's going to give you the information so you can decide what God said and make the decision in accordance with his sayings, circumspectly. That's how you do it. It's not very hard. Pretty simple, really. Just that most people won't take the time to do it. That's why he said redeem that time. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much for some clear, old, good, sound, practical Bible wisdom. We ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us with these things. We want to walk circumspectly, and yet we ask you to help us to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.